Amen. God bless you. You may please be seated. God bless you. I wanted us to take the confession this morning, but our time is far spent. As a matter of fact, I promised them at the ICC that we'll be coming over there at 11:30. And it's almost 11 o'clock now, so I have barely 30 minutes to minister. I'll go as far as time will permit me. No need to rush. I'll just do the much that I can. We continue from there next week. Amen. Amen. Have you been blessed this morning? It's been a complete package. I'm just going to bring the word and that's it. The testimonies have preached my message, all of them. If you turn to the extension at the back, you see quite a number of empty chairs for various reasons. Some people say they don't have money to transport themselves to church. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. None of the members of this church will lack. In Psalm 37 verse 19, it says, we will not be disgraced. It said, they will not be disgraced in hard times. And we are that they that God was referring to. We will not be disgraced in hard times. And even in famine, we will have more than enough. Psalm 37, 19 in the New Living Translation. In the New Living Translation. In the KJV, it says they will not be ashamed. In the New Living Translation, it says they will not be disgraced. So disgrace will be far from you. Even in famine, we will have more than enough. Famine is not a new thing. It's been happening right from the days of old. In Genesis 12, there was a famine in the time of Abraham. In Genesis 26, there was a famine in the time of Isaac. In Genesis 43, there was a famine in the time of Jacob and Joseph. And in each of these seasons, God showed himself strong for his own people. For instance, in the time of Isaac, he wanted to leave where he was. God said, stay, don't travel, don't relocate, don't japa, stay in the land. And he sowed a seed in famine. He sowed a seed in famine. And guess what happened to him? God moved him forward. He became great until he went forward. He waxed great until he became exceedingly great. The same God of Isaac is our God today. Can I have an amen? In the time of Jacob, there was a famine and Jacob still had money to buy food. He told his children, go to Egypt. I've heard there is food in Egypt. Go and buy that we may eat. In famine, he had money to buy. He had money to buy. So he was rich in famine. Joseph was the one in Egypt at the time. And he was flourishing in famine. You will flourish in this season. Don't joke with any prayer. You will flourish in this season. And as Damola was sharing her testimony, the Lord was saying to me, calls. This is the season to let your mobile phone be charged, always be up, because there will be some divine calls. I'm telling you, they will come in, it will be like a chit chat, but it is God sending them to you. Because God will raise helpers of destiny for you. You will come into some strange conversation, positively strange, and it will be for your good. Calls from afar, calls from near. Some of you will be getting jobs like that. Jobs and better jobs. Jobs that you can combine with other things and will be paying your bills. Nobody will struggle to pay bills anymore in this church. From your house rent, to your feeding, to your transport allowance, to your wardrobe allowance, you will never struggle again. In the mighty name of Jesus. It came very strong in my spirit that even some people is this evening, they will get calls. Watch out. When God talks, believe him. There is no respecter of persons. I said last week, and I'll say it again, the Lord Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin and said, I have a plan for every service. This is why all those chairs must be filled by next Sunday. If you really love your friends, you love your family members, Right? Go to them and invite them to come here next Sunday. Because Jesus, the head of the church, has a plan for every service. Excel, have you got your visa for the UK? You've got an email, your travel document is ready. You've got an email that your travel document is ready. What did you get? What notification did you get? Your passport. So did you get an email or an SMS? An SMS. So how did you know that you're going to pick it up? You know. I love that. I love that. And you will testify in the name of Jesus. It is not a difficult thing for God. I've seen 5 days application. They were members of this church. I was part of their visa application, and it was for healthcare work in the UK. Work visa. I mean, the shortest I've seen in my life. We didn't pay for priority visa, and they treated them as priority. In 5 days, we were shocked. It was one of the miracles that God did for me last year. In the middle of a dark time. In the middle of a dark time. We applied in the midst of uncertainties. But we have a God of supernatural acceleration. 1 Kings 18:46, the Bible says, when the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, he gathered up his loins. And he outran the chariot of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. No human being can outrun the chariot of a king. One, you can't even outrun a normal chariot. The chariot of a king was not normal. The best and the most energetic horses were the ones that made up the king's chariot. A man outran them. Why? Because the hand of the Lord, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, came upon him. I see. This is November. November is winding down, and we're entering December. We have a few more days to the end of this year. A lot of good will happen in your life. I repeat, a lot, not one, not two, not three, a lot of good will happen in your life before this year is over in the name of Jesus. Good news will hit you from every part of the world. In the mighty name of Jesus. Don't limit God with your small thinking. Be open. Be open. An idea that will bet $1,000 can come tomorrow morning. An opening is some kind of supervision, remote job. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. Don't limit. I'm talking about God. I'm not talking about your dad. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about God, the Almighty. Don't limit him. Living the good life, part two. Many people who didn't hear the message last week, who have seen our very beautiful design online, will criticize me, but it's fine. So is that what you're supposed to be talking about right now, living the good life? Good life, instead of telling them about Christ, telling them about good life. Did God promise any good life? Yes. Amen? Somebody say, my life is good. Yeah. Situations may not always be good. The Holy Ghost revealed that to me. He showed me what I said. He said, your life is good. So I will never in my life again cry for myself. What kind of life is this? What kind of destiny is this? You have a good life. If you're in Christ, you have a good life. Amen? Seasons are not always good. But even bad seasons change. They have an expiry date. Weeping may endure for how long? A night. Psalm 30 verse 5. What comes in the morning? Joy. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Let me continue. I can't wrap it up today, but let me just continue. This is part two. Living the good life, part two. We read last week Luke chapter 24, 1 to 53, but we won't be able to read that today. We don't have all the time. I'm just going to continue from where I stopped. And I said last week that the presence of Christ is what makes life good. Without Christ, it's all dark, drab, gory, depressed, and sad. The enemy of life was succinctly exposed by King Jesus. The enemy of life is Satan. Satan is the enemy of life. He doesn't like good life. He doesn't like life. That's why he's an abortion expert. He likes to terminate life. He likes to steal from you. He likes to destroy your joy. He likes to destroy your day, to ruin your mood. He likes when you cry. Jesus exposed him in John 8:44. In John 8:44, I thought that would be up by now. John 8:44, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and the Jews, and he said, You are of your father, the devil, and it is his pleasure that you will do. He said, when he speaks a lie. He speaks that which is natural to him, and he abode not in the truth. He was a murderer from the beginning. A murderer from the beginning. And abode not in the truth. Because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Not just a liar, but also a murderer. A murderer. In John 10:10, Jesus further exposed him. He said, the thief cometh not. He was referring to Satan. He couldn't have been referring to his father as the thief. Is that right? Could he be referring to the father as the thief? No. He was referring to Satan. He said, the thief, Satan, cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Nothing good. Nothing good in him. If somebody steals from you, is that a good thing? That's the ministry of Satan. The enemy of life. But Jesus didn't end that sentence without giving us hope. He said, but I am come that you may have life. Life is in Christ. Outside Christ, crisis. In him is life. To know Jesus is to know life. To accept Jesus is to accept life. To embrace Jesus is to embrace life. To fellowship with Jesus is to fellowship with life. To not know him is to not know life. Some people think they know life outside of Christ. You can never know life outside of Christ. He said, I am come that they might have life and have just a little life, just to manage. Just to patch. Nigeria, how you doing? With the manager. How you doing? How with the patch? You will never patch it again in Jesus' name. You are not a vulcanizer. You will not patch your life again in the name of Jesus. No matter your station in life, if you will embrace Jesus, the Son of God, he will turn your life around. He has done it for me. He has done it for countless others. I can tell you. I wasn't this bold until I met Christ. I met him, and one of the blessings he did for me was to give me boldness to stand before kings and not mean men, to speak before any congregation, anybody, whoever you are, by Christ. The normal me, very shy. If I tell people I was a very shy person, I'm shy, they say, that's not possible. Everything I do today, I do by Christ. It's the one that enables me. Like Paul the Apostle said in Philippians 4:15, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can write books. I can write essays. I can do whatever I've set my heart to do because I am strengthened by Christ. Strengthened by Christ. Nobody will understand life unless they have the King of life himself in their heart. Life itself is traceable to Christ. In Psalm 36 and verse 9, the psalmist wrote about Christ when he said, for with you is the fountain of life. With Christ is the fountain, the beginning, the source, the spring of life. And in your light shall we see light. And I've said this and I want to say it again. Those of you going to law school, I know law school can be very tedious. I have some proteges who are lawyers, some of my mentees. Four of them got married in this last 2-3 weeks in Lagos and in Ife, in Osun State. Husband and wife lawyers. And they're people I mentor, young people. I love them. They love me. They respect me. Now, they've told me about law school. I know you have a lot of questions. And it is timed. It's within a time frame. And you have to answer. You read, pop, 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 pop. I said, look, you know, let me tell you something. Whether it's law school or medical school, you know, or school of pharmacy, one key that is available to everyone who has made Jesus the Lord of their lives. No matter your situation, whether you are even a programmer, you are an IT person, a tech pro, and you are finding it difficult to come up with a solution or to an answer to something, stop toiling in the flesh. It can give you mental breakdown. When you try and try to recall and try and try to come up with a solution, come up with an answer, hey, pause, take a pause. Let me tell your neighbor, say, take a pause. Take a pause. Calm down. Tell your neighbor, say, calm down. What you will do in just 1 minute is to worship. 1 minute, take a break and just say, Father, I just worship you. Thank you, King Jesus. And I'm grateful, precious Holy Spirit, that you are with me. Say this scripture. For with you is the fountain of life. And in your light, I see light. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Don't be agitated. In your light, I see light. You're an architect. You're trying to come up with a design, and it's becoming very difficult. Maybe a particular angle. You know, you're trying to come up with something, and don't come up with anything in the flesh. Take a pause and lift your hands and worship. Do it. I'm not asking you to try it. Don't try it. Do it. God never tells us to try anything. It is nonsensical when I hear people say, if you have done every other thing, it didn't work, try God. Rubbish. Have you ever read in the Bible, God asks you to try something? But some preachers say, try God. Like this scammer, he organized the praise service in his shrine last week. He said, try praise. To try means to not be sure whether it will work or not. Did you hear what I said? When you say try Jesus. You've done everything, it didn't work, try Jesus. That's to say, I'm not sure whether you will succeed or not. Or it also means, I'm not sure whether God has the ability to deliver you or not. The Lord Jesus appeared to Papa Kenneth again, one of his visits, and said to him, when you want to minister, listen to me, everybody, and don't sleep on me. Few minutes. He said, when you want to minister healing and you lay your hands on the person and you feel a movement in their body, plus in your left hand or so, I think it's left hand, you feel a movement, he said, there is a spirit responsible for that infirmity. It is called the spirit of infirmity. He said, the first thing to do is take authority in my name and command that spirit to get out. The person is sick, all right? Sickness is what they know. Doctors have an explanation for it. There is a diagnosis, and so there is a name for it. But the Lord said, when you lay your hands and you feel that movement, there is a spirit there. Now, take authority in my name and cast out that devil. Are you with me, church? So on one occasion, it was in a service, and he made a call for people to come out for healing. And so people came out for healing. And there was this particular man who couldn't bend at all. He couldn't bend. It was an infirmity. And so as he laid his hand, he felt that movement that the Lord Jesus said. And so he commanded that demon to go in the name of Jesus. And after doing that, then he said to the man, try to bend. Try to do what you couldn't do before. The man couldn't. He prayed for the man again the second time and commanded the spirit to go. And then he told the man, try again. Just try. Just try to bend, you know. The man could not bend, meaning he wasn't healed. So he left the man. He moved on to the next person. As he moved on to the next person to pray, somewhere down the line, he just looked up, and there was the master, King Jesus. He came to that service. And King Jesus said to Papa Kenneth E. Hagin, did I not tell you that when you are ministering healing in this line, and you feel that movement, did I not tell you there's a spirit responsible? He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Nobody else saw Jesus, only Kenneth Hagin. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. And did I not tell you to take authority in my name and to cast out the devil and that devil will leave? He said, yes, you did, Lord. And I did. I did tell the devil to go, but he didn't go. The Lord Jesus said to him again. You know, the way the Lord speaks, until you do what he tells you to do, he will keep saying the same thing to you. It's like somebody having a one-track mind. God is a God of integrity. When he speaks, what he says is the truth. You follow. If you don't fall in line with the Lord, you are going to be out of line with the Lord. And if you mess up yourself, it's your fault. So the best thing to do is to come in line with God, do what he says to you to do, and then you have results. So the Lord said to him again, did I not tell you that when you're ministering healing and you place your hand and you feel the movement and there is a demon there, did I not tell you to cast out that devil in my name and they will go? He said, yes, Lord, I did cast out the devil in your name, but they didn't go. The man is not healed. He said, the third time, the Lord went over that again and screamed at him, did I not tell you it will go? And the Lord left the meeting. He said, whoa. All of a sudden, he had an idea. In Mark 11, those people that were beaten in the temple, who had turned the house of prayer into a den of thieves, the money exchangers, and those who were selling doves. You remember the Lord Jesus came into the temple and whipped them. Glory to God. So there's a place for whipping. Glory to God. Did you hear what I said? He whipped them out. He wasn't smiling. Oh, do you think he was saying, oh, you borrow the change, people? You turned my father's house into the place of robbers. Go. Come on now. Please go. No. I can imagine Jesus carrying their tables, flinging it out of the window, pushing them. That's why you see, oh God, sometimes we're so gentlemanly in our faith. The realm of the spirit is not gentle. The devil hates us. And when he comes at us, he comes with maximum hatred. And you need to meet him with maximum faith. A part-time Christian cannot defeat a full-time devil. Thank God for your first testimony. Thank God for that girl that said, come on, we are praying in this room. Violent faith. This world does not answer to people that are lukewarm. Neither here nor there. You are trying to be politically correct. What is that? I shared that at Bible study on Thursday night. Those of you that were here, I told you, the Lord wants you hot. But if you are not hot, be cold. So that the Lord can help you. If you are cold, he can help you to get hot. But you are neither here nor there. In church on Sunday, in the club on Friday. You are with your friends. You don't want them to tag you. SU, so you do what they do. But when you're in church, you want us to believe you're really in church. In the realm of the spirit, they see you. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? The moment the Lord left that meeting, he said he just knew what was wrong. He called the man. The man was already going back to his seat, not healed. You know how many people come to our services and they're not healed? It doesn't please the Lord. That's why we must find out what the plan of the Lord is for every service and flow with that plan. I was blessed by Paul's testimony when he said, you know, because I didn't plan that, but the Holy Ghost planned that service and told him I would make a call for healing. I didn't plan to make a call for healing. It was just the Lord. And I've seen that happen with my father and the Lord. And I've seen a testimony. Kemi had fallopian tube blockage. The Lord opened it just like that scenario in this church. She's the mother of a beautiful baby in London now. The service, every service is important to God. There is no service because it's midweek or because it's mid-month. Let me just attend so that I can tick my calendar. No, the Lord Jesus has a plan for every service. So the moment that man was going back and Kenneth Hagin remembered, woo, he knew immediately what the error was. The Lord repeated what he said three times. He called that man back, aggressive faith. Come back here. Hey, you, yeah, come back here. So the man came back, aggressive faith. He put his hand, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you foul devil, get out! When he said that first, then he said to the man, bend! And the man bent. Boom, he got his healing. What was the difference? Yeah, if you were following. What was the difference? Try to bend. Try and see if you can bend. Because I don't know whether God can heal you or not. Unbelief. Listen to me, church. That's why you need to come to Bible study every Thursday. This Thursday is for encounter night. We are really going to pray our heart out to God. Can I have an amen? Amen. The next Thursday's Bible study. What I'm trying to achieve by the help of the Holy Ghost now is the way we think. A little tweak in your thinking of the scriptures can mean that you miss your miracle. Can mean that you miss your healing. Just a little tweak. I'll give you an example of what I mean. The Bible says that in 1 Peter 2:24, that by stripes we were healed. So can I ask you, are you healed? But then you have a symptom in your body. And the devil tells you, you are sick. And then he encourages you to even pray, to pray for healing. And the preacher says, you have been healed. You were healed. You say, no, I'm not healed. I'm still sick. I'm trying to be healed. You are not the sick looking for healing. But Satan has convinced you that you are the sick looking for healing. The Bible makes it clear that you are the healed of the Lord, whom Satan is trying to make sick. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is a difference. Now, you are the healed of the Lord. You are born again that way. The day you gave your life to Christ, you got your healing. Can I have an amen? Amen. Took away your sin, took away your sickness, took away your lack, took away everything. You are blessed and highly favored right now. You are rich. Can I have an amen? Amen. And your life is good. Can I have an amen? Amen? So you're not trying to get God to make your life good. Stop that stupid prayer. Lord, change my destiny. Who wrote your destiny in the first place? Was it God? Did he write a bad destiny about you? God is a good God. Now, listen. The devil has convinced many people in their thoughts. And so when they pray in such a way that God will not hear. Because every prayer offered contrary to the word of God, God will not hear. I'm not saying he will not answer. He will not even hear you. He will see your mouth opening and closing, but he can't hear what you're saying. Because what God can hear is his will. And his will is his word. If you're with me, can you say amen? Amen. So, how do we pray? Lord, I thank you because I'm healed by your stripes. I was healed and I am healed. And because of that, I command every symptom to get out of my body. Because I'm the healed of the Lord. It's a tweak in our thinking, just a little tweak. I'll give you another example. Papa Kenneth Hagin was in a pastor's home to minister in a church, so he was staying with his wife in their home. And the Lord had raised him as a teenager from the deathbed. He had an incurable heart condition and blood situation, but the Lord raised him up supernaturally. And having ministered for some years, all the symptoms of that cardiac problem came back on him. And the devil said to him, this time you are not going to be healed. You are surely gonna die. The natural response would be fear, right? My heart again. Oh God, has God ever healed you of something and then much later you had symptoms again? Yes or no? The devil has come back to check whether you are empty or not. And instead of responding in fear, he started laughing. And Satan said, why are you laughing? Papa Kenneth Hagin said, because you said, I am not going to be healed this time. Satan said, yes, I mean it. You are not going to be healed this time. You're going to die. And then he laughed again. He was laughing at the devil. They said, why are you laughing? He said, because you said I'm not going to be healed. I mean it. You are not going to be healed. He laughed. After a while, he got up and said, hey, listen, Mr. Devil, I know you didn't go to school and you don't know how to read. Then he opened the Bible to 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were. Somebody say, you were. You were. You were healed. Were sounds like past. Is that right? You were. I was healed. I am not going to be healed. I was already. And if I was, I am. Can I have an amen? Amen. Who are you? Are you healed this morning? Yes. Regardless of the symptoms in your body, you are healed. Don't obey the symptoms. Run contrary to the symptoms. When he read that, then he said to the devil, now take your dirty hands off of my body. It is my body. Take your bags in form of your symptoms and get out at once in the name of Jesus. And the devil obeyed. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Are you with me, church? You're thinking. If you go about thinking you are sick, you are sick, you are sick, you need help, you need mercy, you need mercy, you are fighting a battle, they are fighting you, everybody is fighting you. Ogun Idile, Ogun Baba, Ogun Iya, Ogun Adugo, Ogun Afojuri, Ogun Afojuri, Ogun Atelenika Kiribi Ishanun. You see, you're going to have a lot of problems. There are Christians today who are not walking in their liberty. They are not enjoying the freedom that Christ purchased for them because they are so, so devil conscious. Can we for once focus on Jesus? Do we have problems? Yes, we know we do. Do we have challenges? Yes, we met them in this world, and in this world, we are going to leave them. But can we enjoy victory right now? One person said, sir, yes, sir, Lord. Can we enjoy victory right now? Can we enjoy peace of mind right now? I don't care that project you want to do, and it looks like you can't sleep. Can you enjoy your sleep while you have not yet done the project right now? Joy in the middle of chaos. That is what the life in Christ brings. The life of Christ offers you. We met challenges in this world. We're going to leave them in this world. But while we are here, we will walk in victory over them. Can I have an amen? Your thinking is important. We are surrounded by enemies, yes. But I already have the victory. And when you know you have the victory, then you can enforce it. I remember what Uriofe was describing. I used to have a situation where I would be sleeping and it would be as though seven men were pressing me down and I couldn't breathe. And in my sleep, I would be half conscious, half asleep, and I would want to call the name of Jesus. And the moment I tried to even call that name, man, they pressed me harder. One afternoon, they even lost respect for me. It used to happen in the night before. Now it started happening anytime. So I could relate when she was saying, whether it's 5 minutes sleep or 10 minutes sleep. I mean, it was up. If I took a nap in the morning, it will happen. In the afternoon, And you know that's the devil. If you give him a foothold, he will take 2 steps, 3 steps. Then he will establish a throne until you start begging him. One afternoon, I had gotten hold of the scriptures of my victory. And that guy came again into my room, pressed me down. Man, I caught him by his beards. It was like a man. And I saw a figure. I caught him by his beard. And I, you know, like they did to Jesus. They pulled his beard. I was pulling the guy's beard. I saw the guy literally trying to escape from me. Korea basataya, makotezeke. In the name of Jesus, you will regret ever coming to my room. The guy fled. By the time I got up from my bed, I saw the back parts of a man who didn't wear a shirt. I could literally feel him on my bed. The realm of the spirit is real. It is more real than this realm. The very atmosphere around us is jammed with angels and demons. But greater is he, 1 John 4:4, that is in you than he that is in the world. Can I have an amen? Who is a demon-possessed person to be harassing a child of the Most High God? I told that scammer who has sold his soul to the devil. I said, I will destroy you in the name of the Lord. The greater one on the inside of me has spoken to the smaller one on the inside of you. That statement shook him to his knees. He went reporting me everywhere. Pastor Fred said he would destroy me. I said, yeah, I said it. They called me. I said, yeah, I said it. I said, I will destroy him. Because he's using the name of the Lord to scam people. And he has sold his soul to the devil. He's involved in rituals. Somebody said, oh, you know he might attack you. I said, I'm not afraid of attacks. For in Christ I live and move and have my being. Guys, if you are not in Christ, run to him today. Listen, if you don't run to Jesus, Satan and his people will eat you raw without salt.
They will eat you raw without salt.
When someone is choking you and you are becoming breathless, what do they want to achieve? Do you know the covenant they have in their coven to bring blood? You know, we assume that everybody we go to school with is normal. Everybody in your department is a normal human being. You huggers, you hug everybody. Oh, I love you, baby. My bestie of life. Oh, you are fellowshipping with spirits. That's why some people in your class will never like you. You've never done anything wrong to them, but they don't like you. They will never like you. You try to greet them, they will never like you because you carry something. Ask Motu when she went to school in the UK. She can tell you. This is not about racism. This is about a spirit. Because they can see your light. She had one encounter, she told me. She was, I think, in the library area, maybe working on the computer. And a woman ran down and said, I saw light. I traced the light to you. She saw a light. A white woman saw a light. And she traced that light to her and wanted to become a friend. Please pray with me. And that's strange. Strange in the UK. Papa Jerry Savelle had the same experience in a shopping mall. See, we are children of God. We carry light. We have an identity in the realm of the Spirit. But if you don't have Christ, they will eat you raw without salt. They won't wait for salt. When we tell people, give your life to Christ, you think it's a joke. Because we want to populate the church. Yeah, that Jesus is a scam, daddy. Ah, Omo Wagba. Have you seen where they fed somebody with food in the dream and the person woke up with toothpick in their mouth? I know situations I've dealt with. I'm telling you, I know situations I've dealt with. Let's go on and let me wrap it up today. I mean, like I said, the testimonies have preached my message. Without Christ, you can't define life. William Shakespeare was an English playwright, a poet, and an actor. His works were celebrated back in the day until today. They still celebrate him. In fact, they believe he's the greatest playwright of all time. When they asked him, what is life? Listen to what he said. See, without Jesus, you can't understand life because you don't have life. He said, now, have you heard of the play Juliet and Romeo? It was William Shakespeare's work. He said, life is but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Does that describe your life? This describes the life of an unbeliever. A life without Christ. Church, as I close this morning, we have a message to the world. The message of eternal life that only Christ offers. The life that is superior in quality and superabundant in quantity. The life that is only available in Christ and through Christ. The good news is, you don't have to labor for this life. You don't have to try to be a good guy first before you can access it. You can grab it now. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. How do I lay hold on eternal life? How do I access this good life that Christ offers? A life that is loaded with peace in the midst of chaos. John 14:27 and John 16:33. Can you put on the screen? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. He said, peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. Peace in the midst of the storm. When you have Jesus, you can have peace in the middle of your storm. John 16:33. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have what? Shalom. Peace. Talk to me, church. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This is not about money. You can have money and don't have peace. Many of your politicians have money. They don't have peace. They go about with bodyguards. They still don't have peace. They can't sleep well in the night. They have Prado Jeep 2025 that is not yet manufactured. But they don't have peace. Money can buy you a bed, can buy you the most expensive water bed in the world, but money cannot buy you sleep. My wife told me of a man who was buried recently. Very rich man. Jaye Jaye of the highest order. Now we run this town. Bubbling America, bubbling Nigeria. He came home and he said he couldn't sleep. And they got a doctor for him. And they gave him a treatment. And he didn't wake up. Money wasted. When the wife of a multi-billionaire in this country, many, many years ago, a man vying for presidency, his wife had cancer. Took her around the world to the best hospitals in the world. Flew her around the world. Every medical expertise that money could buy, he paid for. The day the woman died, the man said, shame on money. Uju Tiowo. Some of you think that life is about money, 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 money. Life is about Christ, though. People have money, they are miserable. Run after Christ. Chase after him. If you have him already, appreciate him. Fellowship with him. Lay hold on eternal life. In John chapter 6, go to verse 67 for me. 67, 68. Jesus spoke some words. And John chapter 6. And his disciples, they left him. So he asked them in verse 67. He said unto the 12, will you also go away? All the disciples left except the 12. Only remaining the 12. So he asked them, will you also go away? Then Peter answered him. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I know that you have it. To whom shall we go? Lagomelo. If all the devils in hell like, let them fast for 1,000 days for PFE to backslide. I cannot. To whom shall I go? For anything to happen in my life, and then I will now go to Mokola and sit down with the people drinking beer, and I'll be drinking beer with them. Say, yes, forget it. Say, ah, PFE. No, don't call me PFE. Remove the P. I'm FE. I threatened God when my father was terminally ill. I said, if this man dies, I will backslide. The man died. I could not backslide. To whom shall I go? Only you have the words of eternal life. Peace in the midst of the storm. Righteousness in the midst of filth. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Joy in the face of depression. Luke 24:17. Then 48 to 53. Write them down. Joy unspeakable. Full of glory, the glory of God. What do I need to do? This is where I will stop today. What do I need to do to access this eternal life? Number one. Listen. This life comes by grace through faith. Nobody works for it. Write down Ephesians 2, 1 to 9. But what must I do? You must repent. You must repent. Luke 24, 45 to 47. Then Act 2, 38 to 41. Stop messing with sin, lest Satan eat you raw without salt. Satan knows his game well. You can't beat him. You can't possibly beat him at his game. He invented it. Satan invented sin. There was no sin before. He was the founder and the manufacturer of sin. So when you are playing with sin, you are playing with Satan. You are playing with what Satan knows how to do best. Change how you think about sin. Cut off your connection with Satan so that he cannot touch you. The last scripture we'll give you on that, 1 John 5:18. 1 John 5:18. 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Can I have an amen? When you run to Jesus in repentance, like they did in Acts chapter 2, from verse 38 to 41, Satan will not be able to touch you. I went to pray for a lady a few days ago dealing with a situation. I said to her, when we are in love, walking in love with God and with people, you are like someone covered with ogbono soup or okra soup. If they cover you with okra soup, then somebody tries to hold you. Will they be able to hold you? The person will fall down because your body will be so slippery and slimy. They will fall and hit their head on the floor. That's our picture when we are in Christ. The wicked one, Satan is the wicked one. He wants to touch you, but he cannot touch you. The moment you cut off connection with sin and you say, I make Jesus the Lord of my life, you become untouchable to the devil. I stop here today because of our time. Have you been blessed? Let us uphold our eternal life. Let's lay hold on it. This life, this world, and everything it has to offer is fleeting. The ever-changing sins of life. It is here today, it is gone tomorrow. Lay hold on that which will not go away. Eternal life in Christ. Stand on your feet, everybody.